How much do you think about your food and where it comes from? If you're like most of us, you don't think about it all that much, but maybe you should, says Louise Gray, author of the new book, Avocado Anxiety and Other Stories About Where Your Food Comes From. Louise is a writer based in Scotland, focused on food, farming, and climate change. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
You are what you eat. And as the world becomes increasingly obese and the climate warms, you've got to ask, are we eating the right things? My name is Louise Gray, and I've spent the last decade reporting on the science of climate change. Like a lot of people, I'm pretty scared. I want to do something to stop catastrophic global warming. I know most of it is about government policy, about switching to renewable energy and starting to drive electric cars. But what about the food I put in my mouth three times a day? Food production contributes just over a third of the greenhouse gas emissions blamed for pushing up global temperatures. If we want to have an impact as individuals on slowing or even stopping climate change, we need to start thinking about what we eat. Now, I'm not saying people need to beat themselves up if they eat a beef burger. I eat burgers myself, as I explain later. But I do think we have to start asking questions about where our food is from and find ways to shift our diet to something more sustainable. Here are my five great insights into how you can make the food on your plate that little bit better for the planet and your health as well. Insight number one, eat less meat and more plant protein. In my first book, The Ethical Carnivore, I spent 2 years only eating animals I killed myself. I know, it sounds brutal, and it was. I shot deer and rabbits, I skinned and butchered them, and I ate them. And I tracked farm animals all the way through the process from the farm to the abattoir. Killing animals is a serious task. If you're going to eat meat, you have to take responsibility for taking a life. Having learned how hard it is to raise animals well and give them a good death, I wanted to eat less meat. I also wanted to eat less meat because it is better for the planet. A large proportion of greenhouse gas emissions caused by food production comes from livestock. I understand that cattle and sheep are a key part of our cultural heritage, and in many areas such as the Lake District here in the UK, it can be done as part of a diverse and rich landscape. But globally, we just have to eat less. So where do we get our protein? In my next book, Avocado Anxiety, I looked at the plant proteins that can help us shift away from our reliance on meat. Beans really are the answer. Fava beans or broad beans are not only really good for your health, but good for the environment too, as they fix nitrogen in the soil, meaning the farmer uses less artificial fertilisers. They are cheap, versatile, and can be delicious. Just think about veg chili, lentil stew, hummus, and don't worry about the digestive issues. I have some tips on that too. Insight number two, cut food waste. If food waste were a country, it would be the third biggest greenhouse gas emitting nation after the US and China. In developing countries, much of the waste is crops rotting in the fields or food spoiled during transportation. But in developed countries like the UK and US, it is the consumer at home just being a bit wasteful. Big stores force farmers to waste a lot of food because they claim consumers will not eat imperfect fruit and veg. We have to convince them we are happy to eat wonky carrots and imperfect strawberries. They taste just as good. We can also plan our meals better, so we don't buy too much food and use up leftovers rather than throwing them away. In my book, I have a great recipe for crisps made out of potato peelings. Food waste can be fed to pigs or chickens, composted to improve soil health, or made into an energy source by capturing the methane gas emitted as it breaks down. I'm sure we all had grandparents telling us to be less wasteful and to clean our plates. I admire such frugality, but I don't think it's going to solve the problem. It is a different time. A much better way to fight food waste is to look into modern solutions available via our phones. Apps like Olio mean you can share food if you have leftover bread, or pick up food from a restaurant and shop rather than let it go to waste. Just the other day, I rescued some hot cross buns from my local bakery that would otherwise have gone to waste. Businesses can embrace the circular economy by using waste bread to make beer or wonky fruit to make wine. Insight number three, eat local, seasonal, and most importantly, lots of variety. Food miles was a term invented in the 1990s to measure the distance food has travelled to get to our plates. There was great concern about the carbon emissions from flying a green bean from Kenya or asparagus from Peru. I'm not going to say that flying food thousands of miles does not have an impact on the environment. It will make the carbon footprint of your shopping basket heavier, but relatively speaking, it is a small part of our overall carbon budget in a modern lifestyle. For example, you could buy 420 packets of green beans from Kenya for one return flight from Barcelona. There is also the argument for supporting farmers in developing countries like Kenya to get into export horticulture. However, I think there are other reasons to eat local and seasonal. We need local farmers to provide a resilient food system. It connects you to the landscape you live in and the nature around you, and it simply tastes better. Why would you want to eat a variety of apple that is in every store in the world, when you can eat a variety of apple that is only found in an orchard near you? The greatest reason, I think, is it forces you to get more variety into your diet. And variety is so important for our health and the environment. Studies show more variety can boost your gut microbiome and even your mental health. Diversity on farms helps boost wildlife. Ultimately, keeping diversity alive might hold the key to tackling climate change, as new varieties may be able to withstand warming temperatures in future. Insight number 4. Eat fair trade bananas. And fair trade avocados, if you can get them. Think of a banana and you smile, right? It is our favourite fruit, and it's so delicious. But have you ever wondered why they are so cheap? Bananas were originally grown on scale on cleared rainforest in South and Central America. Today, they are still a monoculture of one variety of banana, the Cavendish. This means the crop is susceptible to disease. Multiple chemicals are used to keep an ongoing banana pandemic under control. By farming bananas a little differently, for example, allowing more space between rows, or banana social distancing, as it's called, and introducing new varieties, chemical use could be cut down. Fairtrade bananas do just that and cost just a few cents more. It also means that people picking them are given a fair wage. In the US, fairtrade avocados are increasingly available, which means that this fruit is not linked to organised crime and labour abuses. Insight number 5. Please don't be anxious about it. I expect after all this, I've made you feel terribly anxious about what you're going to have for lunch. Sorry. I really didn't mean to. Anxiety around food is never good. I know. As a teenager and younger adult, I suffered from bulimia, and still today, I will binge eat when I feel anxious. It's not something I'm proud of, but it is something I'm trying to forgive myself for. I think we all feel anxious around food, and worrying about the environment can make that worse if you're simply doom-scrolling on your phone rather than finding proper information. Avocados are a really good example, which is why I called my book Avocado Anxiety and Other Stories About Where Your Food Is From. The fruit does not have a particularly heavy carbon footprint, but it does use up a lot of water. This means that water-scarce countries like Chile could end up using their water to export avocados, rather than feeding their own populations. We have a moral responsibility to make sure our food supply chain is not damaging other parts of the world. Again, this means diversity in our diets and in our farmed landscapes, so we do not rely on one fruit or vegetable. It means resilient local food systems that can provide a delicious, sustainable diet. Growing your own fruits and vegetables and foraging for wild foods is a great way to supplement this, and possibly one of the best things you can do for your mental health as well. I'm not very good at gardening, but I do enjoy it. Millennials have been attacked for eating avocados on toast for brunch rather than buying a house. I'm not saying never eat avocados again. Enjoy your brunch. But I am saying here are some facts and figures and some interesting stories around where your avocados and other foods are from so you can make better decisions. You are what you eat. And if you can eat food that is kinder to the planet, it is kinder on you too. Enjoy the book, and I hope it inspires lots of delicious meals.
Thank you, Louise. That was Louise Gray with 5 big ideas from Avocado Anxiety and other stories about where your food comes from. You might also like our bookbite for What Your Food Ate, How to Heal Our Land and Reclaim Our Health. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.